Welcome into the BBP. This is the Bengals Beat Podcast presented by Inquirer Sports. Here, your Cincinnati.com Bengals beat writers, Paul Diener Jr. and Jim Ossarski, invite you beyond the headlines and inside Paul Brown Stadium for the scoop on all things Bengals. Find out the insider news as well as listening on conversations with players, coaches, and others relevant to the club. Remember, you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play. Just search Inquirer Bengals Beat Podcast. And as always, you can listen on our free Cincinnati Inquirer Bengals app. If you don't have the app, well, I suggest rectifying that situation immediately in the App Store. Now, if you're down with BBP, let's go. All right, welcome to the latest edition of the BBP. Paul Diener Jr. and Jim Ossarski are here, your Bengals beat writer for Cincinnati.com, the Cincinnati Inquirer, and we are here to take you. We're here to take you through the darkness. Yeah. We're like a big hug in the night.
Yeah,
we will keep you safe.
Bengals fans need it.
Bengals fans, if you see a Bengals fan today, you see got their hat on or their Achilles Smith jersey or whatever, just walk up to them, just give them a loving nod, and just give them a hug.
Yeah.
They just need a hug today. Today's one of those days after after the Monday night, the latest debacle in a season that's quickly turning into a big debacle.
Yeah.
Bengals lose 21-20 to the Giants on Monday Night Football and move to 3-5-1 on the season, game and a half behind Baltimore for first place, and a half game behind Pittsburgh in second place. And they played a Giants team that was very average.
Yeah.
And that average Giants team didn't play particularly well, even by their standards.
No.
And the Bengals still lost 21-20.
Yeah. No.
Here we are.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants dropped passes all over the field. They were down to their fourth left guard. You know,
No Victor Cruz.
Didn't really want to play Marshall Newhouse. And then when the game was on the line,
Marshall Newhouse, yeah.
When the game was on the line, they're like, let's run behind Marshall Newhouse. And it worked. So, yeah, it was just kind of, you're right, Paul. It was, look, you know, they've been average or slightly below 3-4-1, you know, but the Bengals, after five straight playoff seasons, 50-plus wins, you know, have kind of, you know, they've hit the skid that many predicted, you know, the previous 3 years, right?
Yeah. Yeah, everybody keeps waiting for the other side to happen. And, you know, we've talked about how much this organization has been based on continuity, and from year to year they bring the same guys back, and those guys were guys that play well. Well, this was the first year where they really had change, where so many of their free agents, the players from this reboot, left. The ones that grew up here,
right,
and were a part of this whole thing left, and they had to replace them with guys that they've drafted since then. And you can only hit so many times on so many drafts.
Right.
And, you know, clearly they're not hitting. But it's honestly, they're at the point now where there's so much happening here that it's hard to even really keep track of all of what's going wrong. Because it's really a little bit of everything. I mean, one week the offense looks good and the defense plays terrible, and then all of a sudden, you know, then last night Vontaze Burfict and Geno Atkins play better, but the offense goes up 20-14 and then has five drives after that, and they go punt, punt, pick, punt, punt.
Yeah.
Good night.
Yeah.
That's it. I mean, and this is for the defense. How many times this year has the defense been unable to finish?
Right.
Denver, New England. They didn't start or finish against Dallas.
Yeah. Washington.
Washington, unable to finish. Offense unable to finish against Washington as well,
right,
in the overtime. I mean, you name it.
Yeah, this, Pittsburgh. I would put offense on Pittsburgh a little bit.
Yeah. And that's what's been the case, right? is it's just been they're good enough to play close, and then they just they can't put it. They don't have that thing that they have unequivocally had the last 5 years, the way to win those types of games.
Yeah, and part of it's because they don't have the thing you hang your hat on. And look, the offense had improved. Wrote about this kind of in the fifth quarter, where you know on a lot of weeks, 2 for 3 in the red zone, you're like, hey, that usually portends good things, but then 2 for 3 can look bad sometimes. And you know, it's the third time this year, Paul, they've started first and goal inside the 8 and didn't get a touchdown. The third time. Now, you're like, oh, what does that mean? Well, one of those was in Pittsburgh, which they lose by a possession. And then, you know, they kind of got away with it in Miami because, you know, they're so bad. But, here's another one. So here's two games where that's, you know, on the scoreboard is the difference.
Yeah. They have yet again, Catch Rule shows up with Tyler Boyd. Say what you think about that rule. You know, you got to take the ball to the ground with you and hold it in.
Yeah.
And there is no way to be too safe about holding on to the ball. When you start getting into the area of extending and Tyler Boyd, man, the kid just wants his first touchdown so bad.
Yeah.
He wants it so bad, and he wanted it, and he felt it, and he was sniffing it, and he was just like, yes, it's happening. And so he just reached it out there and lost control of the ball.
Yeah.
And arguably, you know, who knows how it plays out after that, but could have cost his team a game. He cost him a 2-possession lead.
Right. Which proved to be
the difference, just technically. Yeah. I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, everything changes then, and who's to say this defense would have stopped anybody? But, I mean,
that was the thing, Paul, that was most interesting to me was alternately the units looked as good as they have all year. You know, so no changes happen on defense. Giants march 80 yards down the field, 7-0. Well, what happens? Offense, 3 plays, answer, pick them right up. Let's start over.
Yep.
I mean, that you couldn't ask for a better rally. Like, okay, we're going to pick you up now. Well, then the defense caught a rhythm. You know, you mentioned the Bengals' woes. I mean, the Giants went punt, punt, turnover on downs, pick, punt. And the offense scored 3 points.
Yep.
And the defense gave them the ball at the 7. And then, so the offense could, and then it was, you know, Giants move right down the field at the end of the half to take a lead. So neither group, and then obviously the back again offense. It was just one of those things, Paul. I think it's a 3-5-1 team. That's what happens. Neither group is good enough to give you the extra possession or two of dominance. Mm-hmm. And the other group, when the other one's kind of like, because it's football. It's, you know, there's going to be those ebbs and flows, but the other one isn't good enough to take advantage of it.
Look, so here's where this team is at now. So we mentioned where they're at in the standings. Wild card.
Yeah.
Over. Gone. AFC West is too good, and they're not catching them. Now mathematically, you're a game and a half out of first place with half a season left. You got 2 games against Baltimore. You got 4 total games in the North still left.
Right.
Math says yes. Eyes say no.
Right.
And that is really the moral. This team is not good enough, and there is no reason to believe anyone. They're healthy right now.
Yeah. They're. I mean, I don't comb through the injury report of every team, Paul, but they have to be the healthiest team in the league.
They're well, because A, they are in the top 5 in least amount of money on IR
right
now, cap money.
Right.
And the only person that wasn't, well, they had 5 healthy scratches out of their 7 inactives. One of them was Ray Maluga, who was kind of on his way to getting shelved anyway.
Right.
And the other one was James Wright, your last receiver.
Right. In the previous 2 weeks when Eifert came back, they had all 7 were healthy scratches.
Exactly. So you don't have a bunch of guys on IR. You're healthy, so no one's coming back.
Right.
And you still look like, yeah, some years this is what happens.
Yeah.
This is what happens in the league, where some years it just ain't right. The chemistry ain't right. The mojo ain't right. And the spiral starts. And in this league, if you start to spiral, and if there's that doubt, and if there's any of that finger pointing stuff, then
this is what happens. It just doesn't happen for you. It happens across. That's why it's so hard to continue to make it and go to the playoffs.
Right.
It doesn't excuse what's happening with this team, because it's fair, and this has been discussed. And so I pre-wrote a lead last night because, you know, we're in Monday Night Football. So, you know, you got, I know we're, I'm trying to, I don't even know if we're going to get the score into our newspaper.
Right.
So I pre-write a lead and saying, what if the Giants blow them out? Or what if they win pretty handily? I kind of want to have something in hand. So this is the big picture reality of this team. It was 2012, week 10. This is currently, we just had week 10 of 2016.
Yeah.
When the Bengals were 3-5 and counted out, and Super Bowl champion Giants coming to town, and it was a eulogy game. It was everyone showed up ready to pay their respects with their heads down to whatever this latest reboot garbage they were being sold is the way it was looked at. It was a joke. And the Bengals with a bunch of young defensive guys named some guy named Gino something, and then some young kid named Carlos something, came out and dominated and beat up Eli Manning, and the offense rolled, and they won 31-13. Everyone's saying, what the heck is this? Next thing you know, they win 7 out of the next 8 right. games, and they're in the playoffs. It was literally the day the window flew open on this team making a run.
Right.
It's fair to say, week 10, 4 years later, the New York Giants shut that winning window. Because I don't know where you go from here. If this trend continues of where it looks like it's about to go, there are going to be a whole lot of questions to answer that have not had to be answered here in a long time.
Right, right. That's the thing, Paul, because that's always the other side of the continuity and experience coin, right, is well, in football, it's not baseball or basketball. In football, that cliff comes. When does it come? Nobody knows. I think we're seeing that with Carlos Dansby for sure at 35 years old. Adam Jones doesn't look the same guy at 33. Domantha Peko at 32. You know, Michael Johnson at 29.
Battered 29. He's had some bad injuries with backs and the ankles.
Right.
And all
Ray Maluga at 29.
Yeah.
You know, your court now, obviously the one position that flies in the face of that is QB. So they actually, like, 28 to 32 is like the sweet spot of QBs. And I think you're seeing that.
Maybe even older now.
Yeah, with Andy Dalton. So, but now, you know, Geno's 28, Carlos is 27. A lot of football for those guys. You know, so what is this then? And it's a legit question to ask.
Yeah.
What is this? Some guys got paid. Sean Williams is 25, hadn't seen a lot of the field, so they hedged. He's got 3 years of good ball left. Iloka's played a lot at 26, but they hedged. He's got a lot of ball left. I mean, you know, the rest of the – so where's your – you know, A.J. Green, I think, too, is sort of your premier receivers, I think, also age well in this league now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, defensively, offensive line. Right? You know, Andrew Whitworth's in his 30s. I mean, we know the issues that Russell Bodine has had. Cedric Obwehi, I don't even know what to say there anymore. Wow.
Because that's where you're supposed to be having your influx of youth, right?
Yeah.
That's the thing is, when you do this, when you reeling off all these guys you just mentioned, the Bengals in many ways have attempted, at least, to draft for their replacements.
And you wrote about this a couple weeks ago, I want to say, about the draft classes that just haven't.
Right. That was right before Eifert came back, where they had literally the last four first-round picks in a row have contributed zilch to this team. So now it's three. I mean, with Darquez and Cedric Obwehi and William Jackson. Yeah. They've been trying to draft to replace.
Yeah.
And those draft picks have not been anywhere near as successful as the classes before them. You know, the 2010-9 to 2012 group were full of hits and big hits.
Yeah, big hits.
Big hits late in the draft and early in the draft and really just doing it all. You know, finding all pros in the fourth round and Pro Bowlers in the fifth and you name it. You name it. It's what they were doing. And now you are not finding that they from 2013 to 2015 or 16, the hits don't exist in there. And then that's the difference.
Year and a half, 2 years maybe, right?
Yeah.
And
you hope that the quarterback and receiver combo can mask it. You know, you invest.
Yeah.
If AJ Green doesn't go off, this team has not won.
And yeah,
that's a problem, obviously.
And you know, I remember Paul when I forget what game it was, and you asked Marvin Lewis about him, and Marvin kind of laughed. He's like, "Well, teams can take away a receiver." And you remember it might have been after the Miami game, maybe. And it's true. I mean, look, Janoris Jenkins got the money he did for a reason. Landon Collins is really good.
And they had the two of them over him,
right?
A lot of the night.
And Landon Collins, in key situations, went up on 85.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like Cam Chancellor and Gronk. I mean, you got some really good guys where it's kind of 50-50. And look, Andy's not. I think the Croft interception was Andy being frustrated and kind of trying to make something happen. But generally, Andy's not going to force the ball anymore in those spots.
Yeah.
So where's Tyler Boyd? And Brandon LaFell at times. And I think you're seeing, Paul, you talked about, I'll give you credit for this. I mean, you've been beating on the draft receiver door the last couple years.
They saw one of them. One of them scored the game winner on them last night.
You know.
Sterling Shepard.
So it's, you know, they've ignored some areas on purpose. Areas that they focused on haven't come up. So that's when your veteran guys don't play well, all of a sudden you're like, wow, where's the help? And it's not there.
I want to get to a couple of things here. I think most things in life you can make an analogy to Rocky IV.
Always.
Absolutely. I mean, everything in life connects to something from that movie. I mean, it teaches so many lessons. To me, this season where you're at right now is 100% the Apollo Drago fight.
Yeah.
So Apollo comes out. He's all dressed in his USA gear. He's doing the dance. He's all excited, feeling resurgent, you know? And then the first half of the season was the first round. And he gets pummeled. Everyone can see it coming. And right now, you know what happened? The Giants game, Rocky picked up the towel.
Yeah.
And he's holding it. And right behind him, they're yelling, "Throw the damn towel!" Right? Yeah. So we know that Apollo's about to get knocked the heck out. It's just a matter of it's just a matter of when,
right?
When and who's gonna throw? How's it gonna get thrown?
Right.
But Rocky's holding the towel right now on this season.
Yeah.
And you know how you know when fingers start to get pointed. And you start to hear things, rumblings. It's what happens to every team. It's happening in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers being accused of undercutting Mike McCarthy.
Right.
Green Bay is in a whale of trouble. Green Bay and the Bengals. How about that? The two teams that are so similar in structure and continuity and longevity and consistency, both under siege right now.
Right.
And falling apart and seeing long rains coming to an end. Yeah. Very interesting how those have worked parallel. But anyway, it just happens. This is what happens when things go wrong. I want to bring you AJ Green from after the game on Monday in New York. He was one of the last guys left in the locker room. Myself, Jeff Hobson, Bengals.com, going up to him. And it wasn't like an angry venting of frustration. But, you know, you guys, if you listen to BP enough, you know you've – heard us interview AJ Green. You know he's quiet, he's reserved, he's calculated in that way. I mean, he's not just saying stuff to say stuff. And he's certainly not a guy to throw anyone under a bus. But when he sees his quarterback getting what he got on Monday night,
right,
he didn't want to be quiet about it. and I thought it was interesting. So here is some conversation with AJ Green after the Monday Night Football game against the Giants.
First off, you all right? I know you were like you were gritting it out tonight.
Yeah, I just had cramps in my calf. I'm good.
Yeah.
Tough sled down here, huh? Tough sled, man. You like that sometimes, but again, whatever they you gotta take whatever they give you, man.
What they give you tonight?
Nothing. Nothing. More than short stuff.
Yeah.
They just let me. Had a safety on my top the whole game, probably. Maybe 2-3 snaps without
it. Yeah. I guess you got to get the safety out of there, right?
Right. Got to run the ball. Couldn't capitalize.
Yeah.
Didn't capitalize in the red zone.
I guess that's the thing, you know. If you play like that, you got to run the ball. If they play the defense like that, right?
Yep. That's tough, man. It's just frustrating.
What they do in the red zone on you on that first snap when you guys had it on the 7? And I guess they tried to run. I guess they were trying to run screens to you instead of throwing into the end zone.
Yeah, the guy was just a zero blitz. And he just checked his hand. Yeah. Played well.
They zero blitzed that whole sequence, didn't it?
Yeah. It's a tough one.
That's a scheme way by doing it.
Probably felt after those first two drives of the game by both teams that you could be in for a shootout tonight. Were you kind of thinking that this is about to be wide open?
The biggest thing for us, man, we got to be able to protect Andy. We can't let him get beat up like that. Can't have your franchise guy, quarterback, take those hits today. We just can't have it. We didn't have that last year. And I don't know what's the problem this year.
Yeah. So, I mean, you guys have done a lot of good things. You've made a lot of progress in a lot of areas, but you don't have the win to hang on the wall. Does that frustration start to build when you don't have that, even though you've done good things, you don't have that win?
Yeah, it's frustrating because it's getting to the nitty-gritty time, man. We need these wins, and you know our division's wide open and we're just letting it slip away. We're not finishing these games, tying one, losing by one here. It's tough.
I mean, you and Andy are used to winning games.
Right. And that's what we always preach is about protecting our quarterback. And like I said, you can't let him get beat up like that. You can't.
When AJ Green talks, everyone in the organization sits up and listens. Am I wrong? He has the most powerful voice in the organization. Now, as a player, certainly, and the power that his voice has to Marvin Lewis.
Yeah.
Because everybody knows that he is the most respected guy in the locker room. He's the one every single player in there looks up to, veteran or young player.
Yeah.
He's the star. And he always is so by the book and handles himself so well that when he says everyone wants to listen and listen because they know he means it. Outside of Marvin and Mike and maybe Duke, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if his opinion really matters when he says things, when there's a sense of frustration, that this was not nothing. These comments, in my opinion.
No. You're not under, to make this clear to people, you're not undercutting the quarterback in this, because I do think most people drop, hey, QB always, you know, runs the show. But in instances like this, the quarterback is a little handcuffed with some things a QB can and can't say or should and shouldn't say, at least in public. AJ and Andy talks a lot, you know what I mean? So what you're saying, Paul, is 100% right. AJ doesn't speak hardly at all for someone of his stature. When he does, it's usually about the things he does wrong and things he needs to fix. I think a couple times this year on BBP, we talked about how he called himself out for not doing certain things, and the very next week, he's better at it. Obviously, he's got the contract, he's got the Pro Bowls, he's got Hall of Fame trajectory, all that stuff. So you're right, Paul. I think when that guy decides, hey, it's time for me to say something. It
Somebody
does carry
needs
some
to
weight.
Say something, right. Don't they?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, at what point is it weird that you're 3-5-1 and your season is slipping away and no one's saying anything.
Yeah.
Shouldn't someone kind of lose their cool?
Right.
I mean, I get it. Don't point fingers, but show you're invested. Because right. No one is more invested in this particular season, really these two or three seasons, this one and the next couple, than Andy Dalton and A.J. Green.
Yeah.
This is their prime, their team. They're the highest paid. They're the most respected. Right. This is their wheelhouse. These are their wheelhouse seasons. A.J. Green knows he was as close with Calvin Johnson as any receiver in the league. He saw what happened to a guy. Just wanted to walk away because he knew he couldn't do it quite the way he wanted to anymore. Right. His body started to hurt.
Yeah.
He's talked about having five good seasons left in him.
Yeah. They know.
You can't let those seasons just slip away, and he's not afraid to say that.
No. No. And that's the thing, is it's like, I guess if there's, you know, silver linings, you do have those two guys, and that can make things go for you. But yeah, Paul, you're right. It is an interesting sense. Now look, there were a handful of defensive linemen that didn't want to talk to me after the game. You know, one flat out said, I need to wait because I don't want to say anything stupid. Two other guys are just like, I'm not saying anything. Not including Geno, you know. So count just four, you know, four of the D linemen that didn't want to talk. You know, the DBs talked; they usually do. Adam Jones owned the touchdown on himself, but didn't really want to get into anything else. You know, despite being a captain. You know, Michael Johnson. You know, he did talk though. And Michael and I, you know, and I asked him. The question was about: are you running out of time? And he kind of went the other way, but I think it's different. I think when he reads A.J. Green's, and we'll hear from Michael here too, Michael carries some weight. You were here longer with him.
Oh, absolutely does.
I mean, he's really respected, and I've seen Michael express leadership in the locker room firsthand.
He's similar to A.J. in that way, in that he doesn't say a ton.
Right.
But when he does say, I mean, you know.
Yeah. So just so people know, these guys are separated in the locker room. Michael had no idea what A.J. said, but when he reads... This is my sense, and you can confirm this if you're, or tell me I'm wrong. When Michael reads, I don't want people to hear this and think Michael's going to have a problem with AJ for this. I think there's a difference between what AJ said and then what we're going to hear Michael say to avoid, right?
Yo, absolutely.
So yeah, we'll let you decide on
there's
this.
There's also a difference between accountability and finger pointing.
Yes, yes.
This is just, I mean, AJ was just saying, I don't know what has gone on this year or why it's not happening, but you can't have my guy, my quarterback, getting crushed back there.
Right.
And you know, it's just, you know, and saying we're letting the season slip away. Here's Michael Johnson after the game as well.
Finally, 3-5-1, but you go, I know it's not where you want to be, but you'll go home and see first place team only has four losses. I mean, what's the balance there of not... I know you guys got to be frustrated, but the math says if you guys click, it's still all right there for you.
Of course it's still right there for us. Got to stay together. Yeah. Got to stay you know, can't go to finger point because it's easy to do that when, you know, things ain't going away. But that's the sign of a weak-minded football team. Searching for the blame. We just gotta be better across the board, you know, all phases, all, you know, in all levels of each phase. So, you know, make those plays when opportunity present themselves, and like just stay together. Like that's it, dog. 'Cause it's so easy to fracture in times like this, but that's for weak-minded teams, and I feel like. I feel like we pretty resilient. We faced adversity before, and this is just something for us to battle through. Like, I'm still confident in this team, and I'm gonna remain confident. And we're gonna keep working, keep grinding.
Yeah.
Do what needs to be done. That's not wishful thinking. That's what we're gonna do.
Now, there's some of Michael talking about, you know,
but it's fair to wonder, like, hey, will he read those comments and be like, yo, man, this, we can't be doing this.
Yeah.
We can't be saying these things publicly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's a good question to ask, and that's the those are the questions you ask when you're 3-5-1.
Somebody needs to say something.
Yeah.
I'm of the opinion that somebody needs to say something. Someone needs to show they care. Someone needs to show that they don't want this season to just float away and just continue to spiral out of control. And that doesn't mean – it doesn't – you know, it's not like he said Cedric Abuehi or Russell Bowden or any number of people that are – you know, any number of players. It was just – someone needs to figure that out. I mean, that's basically what that was. And the same thing with the other part of it with the everything letting everything slip away. It was, hey, it's slipping away, folks. Let's stop saying it's okay. We're only a game and a half back.
Right.
It's slipping away.
But isn't that what Paul Gunther did during the bye?
Yeah.
When he came out and said, I mean, so.
And I liked that.
Yeah.
And I thought you saw a response.
Right.
I thought you saw a response from Vontaze Burfict. You saw a response from Geno Atkins, although Geno was beating up on some Little Sisters of the Poor there on the Giants interior line that was, you know. But you saw a response from those two guys, which isn't that everything we talked about last week. But that's really where it was at. You know, you saw some of those things start to have an effect. So maybe this will help it. But, you know, turnarounds, I feel like a lot, so often, and maybe a lot of this is contrived media stuff because we love doing, like, a month after a turnaround happens, going back and saying that was what happened, that was the difference.
Right.
But so many things when a season turns around, there is something that someone stands up and says or something that catches people by surprise that wakes people up.
Right.
If ever it's apparent a team needs a wake-up call, it's this one.
Yeah.
But I don't know what that is, and I don't know that we've even heard that yet. And so, I don't know. Tyler Eifert kind of said it's a long season, but it's getting shorter yesterday. And, you know, Andrew Whitworth had some similar. Yeah, I want to bring that in next. I'm just going to bring you some of Whit talking. He's obviously always a good guy to go to when it comes to pulse of the team. And you heard him talking about frustration. Guys are frustrated, but there's a difference between frustration and doing something about it. So anyway, here's Andrew Whitworth.
Wait, I know you guys have seen the catch rule come into play here before. What were your thoughts on that one and how the rule in general? Is it just frustrating because you're literally an inch away?
Yeah, it's tough. Really the difference in the game. I mean, both our red zone opportunities, you know, we end up with touchdowns. It's a whole different ballgame. You know, I mean, we're really in a completely different scenario and situation in the game. And so, unfortunately, the red zone got us again. I mean, we score touchdowns there in the red zone. It's a whole different night, you know. So that really seemed to get us again.
You know, in the fourth quarter, you guys weren't able to get the wheels going offensively. Was it something they were doing, or anything that was different in the fourth quarter for you guys today?
I think once they got a little momentum there at the end of the third and had that great drive for a score, we never seemed to get another opportunity to get down and distances. We ended up back in our own spot and backed up. You got to drive the length of the field. And couldn't seem to get us a positive play there to get us going. Then had an interception there, and then got ourselves in some long distance down and distances and let them tee off a little bit.
Is there a frustration now because you guys have done some good things, you've made some headway in a lot of areas? We don't have that win to hang on the board. Is there a frustration that sets in with this?
Yeah, I mean, I think guys are definitely frustrated. You can't be. I mean, you got no choice. The guys are working their tails off. There's not a Monday to Sunday problem. The guys are working their butts off. They're in the facility all day and they're trying to find a way to win. And for whatever reason, we just can't seem to get it to bounce our way. We got to just keep our heads down and stay mentally tough and just keep being stubborn and just saying, you know, what if we keep going every week? Maybe this thing will turn for us.
Essentially the same team that you've had over the last several years. Same core. Why, in your mind, are the results so different now?
I think it's an easy answer. It's the NFL. I mean, all these teams, they get better and worse every year, too. And I can go back over the last 5 or 6 years as good as people think we've been. There's been a lot of games that we eked out there at the end. And You know, another team made a mistake, and we had a lucky break that went our way. I mean, that's NFL football, and, you know, I still feel that way about 2010. I mean, I think that team was a much better team than the 10 losing game streak that we had, where the ball just same kind of same situation, just never seemed to go our way. And, you know, I think that this team, though, the character, we can keep our heads down, we can keep working, and hopefully we can turn this thing around.
So it's all sort of starting to unravel a bit. Here's an interesting thought. Since the Bengals played Miami on September 29th, they have played one game at Paul Brown Stadium.
Yeah.
We're going to be going on, what is it going to be? It's going to be November 21st?
Yeah.
Whatever it's going to be, 20th. I don't know what date it is anymore. But it's going to be late November.
Yeah.
Almost 2 months where they played one game against the Browns.
Yeah.
Okay. The mood and attitude surrounding this team and the, amongst fans is far different than it was. I am super curious to feel what the mood is like Sunday against the Bills because in my opinion, ain't going to be pretty, and it ain't going to be full.
No, well, it won't be full. This reminds me a little bit, though, of that last game against the Browns, Paul. We did, because we wondered, right? It was like, because the team was like, eh, and it was their first home game in a while. I was like, oh, what's the crowd going to be like? They sold it out.
Yeah.
And the Bengals did what any team should do to the Browns and get off to a good start, and despite the issues with Hogan later, I mean, it was pretty clear, you know, that the Bengals were going to win that game. But this is different. You know,
this is different because there people are. So I had to do a sort of a random, very unscientific Twitter poll, just asking people what they're where they're at with this team. What is their mood in regards to this team right now? And I got a lot of responses. Some of them were so detailed it was hard to categorize. I'm going to run down every category I found. That I kept creating new ones. I got a sheet there. It's kind of like your tree. I had to keep making new categories. So the worst one that you can have if you're in Bengals ownership is apathy.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much the leader. Wow. Apathy with 30. Anger had 30. You know, disappointment / sad had about 20 votes. I had 5 optimistics.
Wow.
Holding strong. Good for you, optimistic people. 5 people are excited about getting a high draft pick. They you know, which
you know
I
what?
No. No more mock drafts are happening. Like, just because if they have a higher draft pick does not mean I'm doing more mock drafts or we're going to talk more about mock drafting or I'm going to do one right now. Know. No.
Paul's looking at me because I want to say it. And Paul's looking at me right now like, don't say it.
Say whatever you want to say. Say what you need to say.
You cut it off because you saw where I was going. You saw the look in my eye, the mock draft look.
No. You know what else I got? So I got 21 that just said they've given up and they're exhausted with it. They've given up.
Which is kind of like apathy.
It's kind of like apathy, but I think to give up isn't you don't care. You still care. You just are walking away for now. Apathy is like whatever.
Yeah.
And I didn't even care anyway. That and then most of it is Marvin related hate. Yeah. One man is dead inside.
You know who else is dead?
He also got a vote. I got one vote for Harambe. One person just voted with Harambe. And I'm like, you know what? The world was so different before Harambe in Cincinnati.
It was.
It was. It was. And you know, Harambe wouldn't have stood for this kind of play.
No.
He never would. He wouldn't have allowed this. He was an authoritarian like that.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if you've been flying out of CVG and you get in the right jetway.
Yeah. There he is.
There he is. Harambe's right. Like, they have the Cincinnati Zoo. Yeah. You know, which, it's also, they also have the Reds jetway where the players go in order. Cueto, Chapman, Bruce. I think Frazier's on one.
It's like the CVG Memorial jetway's there.
They could use an update. They could use an update. The Harambe jetway is the best one, though. You know, there's a lot of not positive stuff happening there with apathy and people giving up. being the vast majority. And I you know, we're going to have plenty of time to do this. I don't want us to dive into it too deep. I just one thought on it. Any chance that fans get their wish on Marvin Lewis? I mean, I have my thoughts on it too. I'll just start with you before I say anything. Any chance? I mean, this thing would have to. I mean, I don't know. You go ahead.
To me, there's always a chance of everything and anything. At the start of the year, somewhere in one of these BBPs, I think I said this, and I know I've said it on Twitter when people ask, like, what would it take? And I said it's got to be an extreme. 15-1, get the bye, losing the first round at home really poorly. Or I think I've said 3-13 or 2-14 with a totally healthy team, totally implodes and it's disaster, that maybe it's worth considering. And you're 3-5. Look, they haven't proven they can beat in these piddly teams. I mean, I see Baltimore's trash. I got to stick with that. So I see 3 wins still left on the schedule. Makes you at worst 6-9-1. I don't know if that's fireable. But you go 3, you lose out? Of course.
Of course, yeah.
And at this point, Paul, I don't know. I don't see that happening. But so yes, there's a chance, I guess. Yeah. But my gut right now, week 10, I say no.
And it always comes back to Mike. I mean, right. Mike is not going to be the one to have a knee-jerk reaction to one bad season. Like, you can hear Mike now. You can almost hear his voice being like, it was one bad season. We're going to regroup. Yeah. And we made 5 straight playoffs, and Marvin led that, and right. Blah, 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 blah. And then you're going to have a lot of people say Hugh Jackson, Mike Zimmer, and they're going to point to those coordinators and Jay Gruden that are all head coaches now that helped lift up and maybe mask. You know, that's the other side of the argument. How much did those great coordinate Vance Joseph?
Right.
How much, you know, and how much did those coaches help mask maybe a bigger issue here? I don't know. We've got a lot of time to get into that. I don't want to dive down that wormhole right now, but I just wanted to kind of
put
the toe in the water. Right. So, because, you know, I know fans want to hear about that. That's kind of where I think where we're at right now with it. Outside of that, the season continues. So we'll see how it all goes. Let's go real quick. We got to find out what makes you mad.
Yeah.
You know, and people are mad.
Yeah, and I've got, you know, I like getting mad about stupid stuff, Paul.
Yeah.
And I got mad today, and you know what? It's kind of like salmon shorts. I get mad at men's fashion. I'm not a fashionable guy. Like, I don't have, like,
a lot of people are out who are like, you know what, I hate everything Jim wears. Hoodies.
Right. Yeah. Hey, that's cool.
Zip-ups.
Yeah.
Half zips.
Yeah. I think I look good on game day. Like, work day, I think I look good. I'm cool. I've gotten compliments.
Yeah. No, definitely.
My shoes have been complimented in the Bengals locker room.
Yeah.
My sweaters have been complimented. Hey, look, these guys spend a lot of money on their clothes.
They do.
So I think I do okay in that regard.
Yeah.
But there are some things that just drive me crazy. And you want me... Paul, so many men in bubble vests today in Newark, New Jersey, and in Cincinnati. Men in bubble vests.
What is it about the bubble vest that sends you the wrong way so much? Is it that it doesn't really serve a purpose as an item? Because that frustrates me.
It does. A, it doesn't serve a purpose. B, like, when you're above the age of 8, you shouldn't wear a... I mean, it. Like, look, like little, like when I see little kids, like with their little, like newsboy hats, and the mom puts the little bubble vest on the kid, like, ah, look at him, he looks like a little bubble vest newsboy hat kid, and it's cute. When you're 52, don't wear the bubble vest.
Don't wear the bubble vest.
It makes me mad.
What about men on bikes in blazers and cable knit hats with scarves? That's just not bike riding attire.
No, that's the thing. I'm okay with the blazer. We love your blazer game. However, blazer on a bicycle.
No. When it's not like going ashore, it's being used as a mode of transport. Yeah. You know?
That got me mad.
Oh, it's hilarious. It's hilarious. Well, hey, this is a good segue for us. We have we're excited about another new sponsor, man. People are that we've got on board with the BBP, and that's Mack Weldon. I don't know if you I don't know if people know about Mack Weldon, but you can find some great fashionable stuff there.
Not bubble vests.
No bubble vests. No bubble vests there at all. They've got. I mean, whether you're looking for underwear, you're looking for polo shirts, you're looking for t-shirts, you name it, Mack Weldon has it, and they've got just about anything you could be looking for.
Hoodies, sweatpants, right up my deal. But look, Paul, naturally antimicrobial. What does that mean? You're not smelly.
No, don't.
You don't want to be smelly.
You don't want to be smelly.
No, but you want to be comfortable.
Yeah.
So, and then here's the thing I like MackWeldon.com, Paul, is that if you don't like your first pair of underwear there, you can keep it and they will refund you. I mean, that's good. You don't really want to like send that back. But, you know, no questions asked. And, you know, you can, not only that, but it's socks, undershirts as well. Good for working out, going to work, all that good stuff.
I love sweatpants.
Yes, me too.
The most. Yeah, we've been on Mack Weldon's website and messing around. I got a sweatpant action. Super excited about that. But listen, you want to go for a run? I mean, I don't, but some people like to go running.
Go for a bike ride.
It's perfect. It's perfect for there too. So go to MackWeldon.com. Get 20% off. Hey, we bring you the deals.
We
bring you the deals. You can get 20% off if you just use the promo code BEAT. BEAT as in Bengals Beat Podcast. MackWeldon.com, 20% off, promo code BEAT. Go get yourself some sweatpants and all that stuff. All right, let's move on here and get close to rounding this thing out. I'm just waiting for the sweet release of death on That's So Jaggy. I'm ready to cut ties. You know, just can they just fire Gus already? Although a sweet little John Fox rumor.
Yeah.
It's just popping up there that could possibly save me.
Right.
Yeah. Possibly could save me.
Yeah, it's not good.
But it's probably not gonna happen, but I mean Gus is as good as gone. I just want it to end already. I just want to be done with it and move forward and move on with my life. And the fact that it hasn't happened and I continue to have to deal with this is Jackie.
Yeah.
Inherently. Yeah. This is what happens. It's an awful.
It's like throwing an interception off a foot.
Oh, how do you even do that? He just fired it right off a dude's foot, and it pops right up.
Pinpoint accuracy.
Yeah, so it's the only time Blake Bortles has thrown accuracy. What was the headline? That is the most
Blake Bortles play that ever Bortled.
The most Blake Bortles play that ever Bortled. Oh my God. It's just atrocious.
Real quick, before we get to the song out, Paul, I will offer some silver lining for Bengals fans.
Ooh.
They only have to look to last year, 3 weeks after the Bengals put a beat down on the Chiefs. Chiefs 1-5, rattle off 10 straight to go 11-5, make the playoffs. Last year, 2-5 Houston Texans, or excuse me, 1-4 Houston Texans. Went 8-3 down the stretch. Now, granted, those teams had their buys in between. So, if you want some hope, I'm giving it to you. They asked for it.
Wow. They did not ask for it. They'd rather writhe in the anger right now.
I think you're true. I think. But look, there's five people who voted for optimism.
This is for you, five.
That's
people.
For you.
That's for you.
There it is.
Thank you, optimistic folk. We appreciate
your presence. Don't say I didn't do nothing for you.
Well, absolutely. All right. Let's get out of here. Again, obviously, we're going to have the BBP2 later this week leading into the Buffalo home game. And we're back on a normal schedule, thank goodness. Enough with the 9:30, the 8:30, the Monday, the London. It's, you know, Thursdays. Sunday at 1 o'clock will never feel so good. Cannot wait for that. And then we're back on track. So Jeremy Hill was the Tuesday night guest on Beyond the Stripes. So go on to sustain.com. You can check that out on the archive. Next Tuesday, Brandon LaFell is going to be our guest down at the Hoffer House. Every Tuesday at 7 o'clock, we're down there for BTS. Come check it out. Anything else?
I got a song idea.
You have a song idea?
Yeah.
All right, what's that?
You know, I'm an 80s baby, and somehow it struck with me. Elton John, sad songs say so much.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You're just going full-on sadness.
Yeah. So I gave you the optimism, and now I'm going to just crush you.
Just crush you with some sad
Elton. It's sad, but he's, you know, it's Elton. I mean, he's got, there's a little bit of, you know.
He's generally a joyful guy.
Yeah, but you know what? It's sad.
Not in this moment.
Sad songs say a lot.
They do. All right. I like it. We need to go out with sadness. But we were supposed to be trying to help people through this and do some therapy and keep them off the ledge.
I gave them the stat.
You gave them the stat, and then you pushed them off the ledge. Or you slipped them some drugs. Here, just take these Ambien.
You got the stat. That's it.
All right. That's all you get. All right. Well, hey, thanks for joining us on this week's BBP. Make sure you keep coming back. We'll talk to you on the Deuce later this week. So have a good one, everybody. Elton, all yours.